I'll admit I love that worship song. It proclaims a simple truth that He is good. And I want to say this as we begin today, there is nothing good in your life that you have ever experienced or ever will experience. It does not come from Him. Whatever you might have ever had good go on in your world, He is the author. He gave it to you. And He's worthy of our worship. I want to welcome you today. If you're here or whether you're watching online today, I welcome you and I'm glad you're choosing to join us today. And maybe you don't know, but every week we have about 2,000 to 2,500 people watch us online. And that's great. Maybe you can't get here. Maybe there's a large distance, but I want to say to our online people, it's better here. It is. It's just better. And I'm glad you're with us. I don't say that to take away from you being with us online. I say that just because it's even better here. So we'd like for you to, maybe you shouldn't all come at once, but that's okay too. It was in my prayer time years ago. I don't know what year it was that God gave me 9 words and they all began with a P. I guess it's 10 words because I was praying. That's the 10th one, prayer, when I received these 9 words. God gave me something, and I didn't create it in my mind. God gave me something, and it was this: God, would you fill me with your power and your presence and your purpose and your passion and your providence and your peace and your purity and your provision? Why they all began with P, I have no idea. Maybe it was so I could remember. I don't know. All I know is this: they all came when I was praying. So now my regular prayer time, just before I came up on stage here, I prayed those 10 things. I prayed those 9 things by prayer. And today, I want to cover 2 more. Last week, we covered the first 6, actually week 4 last. Bob Russell spoke here last week, and wow, what a powerful, powerful message he gave. And I'm so grateful for him and his friendship over the years. And before that, I'd covered 6, prayer, power, presence, purpose, passion, and providence. And today, I'm going to cover the next 2, peace and purity, peace and purity. And if the Lord is willing, and he doesn't come snatch us off the earth between now and then, we're going to finish up the series next week with provision and protection. I want you to remember something. These are very personal to me. And because God specifically gave them to me when I was seeking after him, I feel like it's his answer to me seeking him. He clearly described himself. So just think about it for a moment. He is the power, and he is the presence, and he is the purpose, and he is the passion, and he is the providence, and he is the peace, and he is the purity, and he is the provision, and he is the protection. So it was like, I'll give you me as you seek after me. So it's very personal to go through these with you as a group. So let me begin today with peace. God, would you please fill me with your peace? If I looked up in my Bible dictionary, peace is defined as freedom from disturbance. So if I look around the room today, would you want some of that? Freedom from disturbance. We live in a disturbing world. If you look it up in Webster's dictionary, which I always like to go to, the word peace in Webster's dictionary is defined as a state of tranquility and quiet. I like that, tranquility and quiet. So how many of you, let me ask a stupid question. How many of you in the room would like to have a little bit of this peace in your life, tranquility and quiet and peace from disturbance? Raise your hand. The rest of you, I worry about. So let's begin here today. The world is seeking this peace. They may not know it, they may not verbalize it, but I'm going to tell you, everybody in the world is actually down deep. There's something crying out for this peace, this calm in your soul that has nothing to do with your circumstances. Because your circumstances may be reckless and out of control, but the peace is something on the inside that works its way out. I've already said, I'm convinced the peace is the very presence of God. It is Him. Peace with self. You want that? Peace with others. You want that? Peace with God. That's what we're going to talk about. Is it possible to find this peace and quiet inside of your soul? Inside, this peace must work its way from the inside out. It must be on the inside of you. God, fill us with your peace. Parents always have these sayings. We create these sayings in our life. We don't know we're doing it, but our kids know we're doing it. My mom had one, and my mom would all the time say, "Can we get a little peace and quiet in here?" She was seeking after peace with four sons. Everyone wants it, but the question today is, how do you get it? How can it truly be found and experienced? Peace and quiet. This peace is desired on a large scale, and it is desired on a small and personal scale. Let me give you an example. This past week, if you've watched the news, some 4,300 rockets have been fired from Gaza and other locations into the country, the people of Israel. And as well as I understand it, maybe this weekend there is now a ceasefire. They have come to some kind of a temporary peace, even though I can tell you there will never be any permanent peace until the Prince of Peace comes and takes his seat on the throne in Jerusalem. But they want peace. Well, who wouldn't want peace with 4,300 rockets coming in? But there is a power at work in that scene and in our scene that doesn't want peace. They're not after peace because peace is from God, and there is an adversary, an enemy of God, who's not seeking peace. He's seeking war. So if you look on the large scale, there is a war that's raging in the heavenly realms that does not desire any lasting peace. And God is peace. But let's bring it down to the personal level. There is a war raging inside of our own heart. And God wants us to pray to Him, seeking after His peace. And here's where I'm going today. This peace is not dependent upon circumstances or your environment. This peace is this. It is a quiet stillness in your soul. That old hymn growing up, "It is well with my soul." That's it. That's it. Irregardless of your circumstances, you just know it's okay. It's okay. There's a calm. It's okay. Can anyone guess when the word peace first appears in the Bible? I've told you before, one of the things when I start doing like a topical study, I'll go back to find its origin in the scriptures. And if you can find where something began in the scriptures, you can kind of tell where it's going. So I went back and looked up when you first find the word peace and the application of this peace in the Bible. The first application of peace inside of God is inside of God's powerful and eternal covenant with guess who? Abraham. That's not very surprising, is it? So let's go to Genesis chapter 15, and I want to show you the first application of peace. You might be surprised in its application. "And then the Lord said to Abram, 'You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. Now let me make sure you get this. God is prophesying to Abraham that in the future, his children's 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 children are going to go to Egypt, and they will be eventually slaves in Egypt, where they'll be slaves for 400 years until Moses comes. Now, when he says this, Abraham doesn't even have any kids. So he's really prophesying the future to Abraham. And then he says, verse 14, but I will punish the nations that enslave them, that'd be Egypt primarily, and in the end they will come out of Egypt with great wealth, which we know for a fact that all happened. Verse 15, as for you, Abraham, you will die in peace. There's the first application. As for you, Abraham, you're going to die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. And after four generations, your descendants will return here to this land, for the sin of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction. God's prophesying to Abraham the future. He's telling him what's going to happen in the future. And in the midst of that prophetic announcement of children of Abraham that he doesn't even have yet, all moving to another land in 400 years and then coming out of there to the promised land, in the middle of all of that, he says, oh, by the way, you're going to die in peace at the ripe old age. What he's telling Abraham is you're going to die in quiet tranquility at an old age. There's three old men, each in their late 80s. They all go to the funeral home to visit a friend who has died. As they stand around the casket discussing the life that their friend had lived on this earth, one of them asked the others, what do you want people to say about you when they come to your funeral? What do you want people to say when they're standing around the casket looking down at your body in the casket? The first man said, I hope they say I was a generous man, that I always helped the less fortunate in life, and I was a giver. The second man said, I hope they say I was a dedicated family man, faithful to my wife, faithful to my children and grandchildren. I hope they say I was a faithful man. Well, the third guy, he didn't say anything. They stood there for a while, and then they finally asked the third guy, what about you? What do you want them to say about you when they stand up next to your casket? The third guy said, well, I hope when they stand up next to my casket, they say, hey, wait a minute. There's been a mistake. He's breathing. Now, that's peace and tranquility. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to die in peace and tranquility at a ripe old age. But that's not what I'm praying for, and that's not what we're talking about today. I'm praying for peace in my soul today. That's what I'm seeking after. I'm seeking after something other than living to be a ripe old age and dying outside of turmoil. Today, I seek after, and I pray that the church is in seeking after peace in our soul right now. What about that one? What about being able to leave here today and know that you know that you know that irregardless of what happens in this world, it is well with my soul? That's peace. This is where it all becomes real, and this is when it becomes personal. Can I truly have peace and quiet in my soul as a follower of Jesus? Is it real? Is it attainable? Is it within our reach today? Before I read it to you, you must understand something. Everything that will happen here today is based upon a simple truth, that what I hold in my hand is the only physical source of absolute truth on this earth. Now, if you're listening today online or you're here personally and you're still struggling with that, you're going to struggle with what comes next. Because everything I'm going to talk about today comes from the foundational truth that God has revealed to us, the source of peace, how you can have it for yourself. And I'm not talking about dying at a ripe old age in peace. I'm talking about right now today, peace. Right now, this moment, today, peace. What everybody's looking for, peace. So here we go. Philippians 4, verse 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. And then, anybody see it? And then, after you do the former, and then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Can this peace be real? Is it possible that this is real, attainable, quiet in my soul peace, irregardless of circumstances? Well, let's ask this question. You know where the Apostle Paul was when he wrote that? In prison. He's in prison. Is it possible to find joy in prison? Is it possible to find joy in suffering? Is it possible to find joy in sickness, in controversy? You see, he begins this with, always be full of joy. Always be full of joy in the Lord. Not joy in the world, joy in the world, in the Lord. It's something that is not based upon circumstances. You know, there's a word called happy, and happy is always dependent upon your circumstances. You know, there's a difference between joy and happy. You walk up to me today, as soon as church is over, hand me $100 bills, I'll be happy. Try it. Just go try it this week. But joy is totally different. Joy is something that radiates from the inside out. It's not dependent upon circumstances. It doesn't matter whether I have money or I don't have money. It's just something inside of me. Rejoice in the joy of the Lord. And he goes through a series of things and says, and then you'll have God's peace. Is it possible to find this peace when everything around us is in chaos, when everything is in decline, when you're unsure about the very next moment that we're going to live? Can there be this peace, this quiet tranquility down deep into my soul? Now, this next part. Now, I read to you just now Philippians 4:4. This next part, I'm going to back up to earlier, Philippians chapter 1, same letter, to show you something. Chapter 1, verse 12. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here, now where is here? He's in prison. I want you to know, believers, that everything that has happened to me here has helped the spread of the good news. What? You mean it's a good thing that he's in jail? Has helped the spread of the good news. For everyone here in the prison, including the whole palace guard, those guys that are guarding me, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. Paul is telling them that because he is in jail, the guards are knowing who Christ is. And because he's in jail, the people, the believers outside of the prison are now becoming emboldened. They're becoming confident in their faith, and the gospel is spreading. Do you remember the Providence session, one of those other P's a couple of weeks ago? You see, Paul believes he is living inside of God's providence, yes, in prison. Are you with me? You see, Paul believed that God's providence has placed him in a Roman prison, surrounded him by Roman guards, Gentiles, so that he might be the apostle to the Gentiles. He's going to get an audience there. He's never going to get anywhere else. Remember, I didn't make up these 10 P's. God gave them to me. Paul, in prison, said this, everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. Now I'm going to ask you a question. In light of that context, do you still want this peace that Paul had? Do you still want it? Well, I don't know if I want it if it means that I got to go to jail. Do you want this peace with yourself? Do you want peace with others? Do you want peace with God? What about this? Do you want peace with your circumstances? Do you want peace with your circumstances? What Paul is revealing here is that he has made peace with his circumstances by making peace with God, understanding that providence applies to all circumstances. All circumstances. Do you want this kind of peace and quiet in your soul? So let's go back and read again what the Holy Spirit has revealed to the Apostle Paul about this peace and quiet. I want to go read it again. Let's start with verse 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Why does he say it twice? Because it's foundational. My joy is in not me. It is not in my circumstance. My joy is in the Lord. Always be joyful in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. And remember. Because if you don't remember, you'll forget that the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. And then something's going to happen to you. I just love it. And then something will happen to you. What's going to happen to me? He's in jail. And then something's going to happen to you. You will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will do something. He will guard our hearts and it will guard our minds as we live in Christ Jesus. Be full of joy. So let's start. I want to walk down through here. I want to make sure everybody gets this. Be full of joy. Stop grumbling and accept God's providence in your life. Rejoice in today's situation. So I'm going to pause in the Paul story and come to today's story. I'm looking across the room at this audience, and if you're watching online, I'm talking to you too. I want you to understand that what God desires for you is to rejoice right now today in your circumstance. Quit saying to God, if things were different, I would find joy in you. You're wrong. That's not how this works. You find joy in the Lord and in the providential circumstances that he has placed you in. Paul understands this providence word. Paul didn't want to go to jail. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to suffer. I don't want you to suffer. I don't want anybody to suffer. But in God's providence, he explains to Paul that in that jail, you're going to ignite a spiritual awakening among the Gentiles and the Romans that will never happen anywhere else. You know why? Because they're going to see something in you that their hearts desire. Peace. Everybody wants it, but you don't know where to get it. Peace. They're going to see a Christian in chains with perfect peace. There's something about the power of that. Stop grumbling. Accept God's providence in your life. Rejoice, church, in today's situation. Some of you can't or won't accept this first step in attaining this unimaginable peace and quiet in your soul. So you'll never, ever, 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 ever make it to step two because you refuse step one. Rejoice in the Lord today, regardless of my circumstances. He is good. Number two, be considerate and careful in all that you do. Why? People are watching. They were watching Paul. They want to see if what this fella preaches is what this fella lives. They want to see if he's real or he's just another fake. And the essence, here's the most powerful thing in all of it. He says this, be considerate in all that you do because the Lord is coming soon. Paul knew that he was about to meet the Lord through death. Now, what some people would say, and I know this for a fact, some people would say, see, this proves that the scripture is not true because they killed him. They cut his head off. So obviously the Lord didn't come and rescue him from that prison. And if that's your position today, you still don't get it. You see, the Lord was coming soon for Paul. On that day that they cut his head off, where do you think he went? He went, his soul, his person, went into the presence of the Lord. I believe that with all of my heart. So for him, that event demonstrated the Lord was indeed coming soon. It came soon for him. Now, yes, there is a future time when the Lord is physically going to come for his bride, the church as a whole. But in this day, he came for his bride, the Apostle Paul, singularly, and took his soul into heaven. So let me ask you a question. Paul had as a foundation belief that the Lord was coming soon. He lived with this sense of expectancy. So when he says, be full of joy, let everyone see that you're considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. So here's my point. What do you think happens when you live in expectancy of meeting Jesus? Let's just use a little logic. What do you think happens? Let's just use an example. Tuesday, you're going to meet Jesus. Okay? On Tuesday, you're going to meet Jesus. How do you think you'll act Monday? You might give me $100. You see, if you live with an expectancy that the Lord is coming soon, this joy of the Lord starts to take a whole new feel. It changes how you see the world that you walk in. The troubles seem way less significant than if he's going to see me on Tuesday. He can't endorse all that. So let's turn that upside down. What do you think happens when you refuse to accept the reality that we're all going to meet Jesus soon? You see the two worldviews? One is I live my life knowing that soon I'm going to meet the Lord. Or what if I take this other person and I live my life like there's no possibility of the reality that I'll ever meet the Lord anytime soon? Do you think it'll affect your peace? Do you think it'll affect your life in general? It changes everything. Let me give you some specifics. It looks like, we can't be for sure, we can just kind of estimate these things. It looks like the Apostle Paul spent 5.5 to 6 years in prison. It looks like there was about 32 years from the time the Apostle Paul met Jesus on the Damascus Road until they executed him in a Roman prison. 32 years of ministry, 6 years of prison. Six of Paul's 32 ministry years were from jail. Now, if you do the math, that's 19% of Paul's ministry was from prison. 19%. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Can you find peace in that? Can you see Paul's optimism and joy in the Lord when 19% of his ministry time was in prison? You can if you understand the word providence. You see, providence, and I've already covered that session, providence is understanding that 19% was not an accident. That 19% was God's appointed time in which he would give this wonderful, peaceful, good news to a bunch of Gentile Romans. Providence. Can you stop whining and complaining about your circumstances when you understand that 19% of the Apostle Paul's life was in jail? Where did he write most of these epistles from, these letters from? In jail. Can you see the providence? Let me put it another way. It's been some 2,000 years since Paul was executed, right? It's about 2,000 years ago, roughly. It's been some 2,000 years since God sent his angels, and I'm convinced this is how it works. This is how Jesus describes it in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. It's been some 2,000 years since God sent his angels to carry Paul's soul, when they cut his head off, to carry Paul's soul into the presence of Christ. Now, let's compare that 6 years in prison to 2,000 years in the presence of God. You know what the math of that one is? It's been 0.003%, and it's decreasing each week. You know what that means? That 6 years in prison now compared to 2,000 years of glory seems getting very little. And you know what? Those 6 years in prison will continue to decrease in comparison until it becomes totally insignificant. It will be swallowed by a word called eternity. So when you've been in eternity for a million years, how much will 6 years in prison sound like? You won't be able to do the math. I'm going to ask you, can you find peace in that? And you know what the answer is? Only if you believe this is true. Only if you believe this is true. Yes, listen, I'm not making light of his prison time. I'm not. 19% of Paul's preaching ministry was spent in jail. But how does that compare to the 2,000 years of glory that is ever increasing in eternity? How does it compare? That's this peace that transcends human understanding. That's it. If you don't get that, you're not going to understand the peace that Paul had in prison. Here's what he says. I'll summarize and go to the next P. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. And remember, the Lord is coming soon. Remember, whatever's going on in your life, remember, don't forget, the Lord's coming soon. And that brings me to the next one, purity. Purity. Do you know what stinking thinking can do to you in jail? Had a guy come up after first service and said, yep, been there, done that. Stinking thinking. You know what stinking thinking can do to you in jail? It will take away your peace. The purity of your thoughts will determine the quality of your peace. Now, I want to make sure everybody gets this. The purity of your thoughts, what's going on in your mind, what you consider to be true about your life, about reality, will determine the quality of your peace. What you hold to be trustworthy and true will determine the quality of your peace. Let me read this section of Paul's letter again, and I want to ask you as I read it, can you find the purity that leads to the peace? I'm going to go back and read 4 through 6 again, verses 4 through 6. Always be full of the joy of the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice, let everyone see that you're considerate in all that you do. And remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Here's where I'm going with this P. Pure thoughts produce pure peace. Pure thoughts. Listen. Pure thoughts. You must come to grips with this first one to receive the second one. Pure thoughts produce pure peace. Be full of joy. Rejoice in your current circumstances. Be considerate of others when you are in hardship. Remember, the Lord is coming soon, and eternity is longer than any of your troubles. Don't worry. That's stinking thinking. The opposite of pure thinking. Worry is to doubt God's word. Worry is to doubt God's promises. Worry is to speak against the covenant promises of God. Worry is to tell God that you're not confident that he is able to do all that he said he's going to do. Pray about everything. Pray and believe that providence is working right now. So I'm going to stop again in this story and I'm going to tell you something. I want you to understand that providence is working right now in your life. There are people sitting in this room, and I can imagine with a crowd this size that there are people experiencing a little bit of everything right now. Some of you are probably at a high point in your life and you just hope it keeps up. Some of you are at the low point in your life and you hope it stops. But you need to understand all of you right now are where you are by the providence of God. The joy of the Lord. The pure thoughts of what's going to be revealed by the truth of God's word will open a door to pure peace. The purity of your thoughts produce the purity of your peace. So you need to make sure that the purity of your thoughts are based upon truth. I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. He tells us to pray about everything. Pray and believe that providence is working right now. God's working out the details of your life right now as we speak. Tell God what you need. Go ahead. Some of you feel even reluctant about that kind of a relationship conversation. Tell God what you need. You think he's not a good father? Thank God for what you have today. His promises never fail, even in jail. And then, notice what he says, and then, notice the order. Are you ready for this? Do you remember earlier I said something? I want to say it again. Everything I'm about to tell you today about peace and purity is based upon a simple premise that absolute truth is found here. And the source of peace and the source of the purity that feeds the peace is actually coming from this, what I'm reading to you. This is supernatural. There's a lot of books you can read and they might do good things in your life, but none of them are supernatural. None of them have the breath of God in them, and this one does. And when this breath, this reaches your heart, your soul, your mind, something happens. Philippians 4:7. Then. What's the then? Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Then there is an order. Purity of thought and truth is necessary to find this wonderful peace and quiet that everyone wants. Purity of thought, purity of truth. The peace that you and I seek is God's peace. And God's peace is found in the joy of the Lord. It belongs to him. And right now, today, I want you to know something. Irregardless of your circumstances, God has a gift for you. This gift is his peace. Lord, would you fill me with your peace? And his great desire is, yes, I would like to give you my peace. I would like you to be able to say today, it is well with your soul. It is a peace that gives you a confidence and security no matter what your circumstances. But this peace only comes. Listen, here's where I'm going. This peace only comes in truth. It only comes in truth, not stinking thinking, but purity of mind and purity of thought. You will find no peace when you listen to the lies of the enemy. Or the world that belongs to the enemy. You will never find peace following after the world or the lies of the enemy. And yes, there is an enemy. Let me give you an example. The enemy says God has abandoned you to this jail of suffering. To the Apostle Paul. Do you think the enemy spoke to Paul in prison? You see, God has abandoned you. He called you to be apostle to the Gentiles. And how in the world can you be apostle to the Gentiles in a jail? Stinking thinking. See, God had already told Paul the future. He'd already told him. And that jail symbolizes your circumstances right now. Which voice are you going to listen to? The enemy says God has abandoned you to this time of suffering. What good could possibly come from your current circumstances? The enemy says God has failed you in your time of trouble. There's no providence. There's no peace. It's an illusion. Stinking thinking. Listen carefully. This world we live in is going to produce suffering on both sides. Are you listening? There's going to be some suffering in this earth if you're a believer or if you're a non-believer. The question is, which one will give you peace in the suffering? There is a suffering that comes from stinking thinking, which is impurity, which is to refuse to walk in the truth. If pure thoughts produce pure peace, then what do impure thoughts bring? A false peace. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:19. For God is pleased with you when you do what you know is right and patiently endure unfair treatment. God is pleased with you when you do what is right. Do what is right based on what? Truth. Truth. That's the purity. Verse 20, of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he, Jesus, is our example, and you must follow. You must follow his steps. What? The joy of the Lord was his strength. He was convinced that the promises of God were his. The Apostle Paul believed the joy of the Lord was his strength. The promises of God belonged to him. God has announced a spiritual principle of sowing and reaping. You harvest what you plant. If you plant truth, if you plant purity, you will reap a harvest of peace. Do you believe it? God's peace is produced only through sowing purity. Purity represents truth. The pure, undefiled, holy word of God produces peace. That's why I said a few moments ago, if you're in the room or you're watching online and you still struggle with whether or not this is God's word, then you still don't have application to sow this perfect, pure seed in your own life because you're still in rebellion. You're still foundationally rebelling against the very word of God, which is the person of God. So you can't find the peace while you're in rebellion. If you plant truth and purity, you'll reap a harvest of peace. God's peace does not always mean the lack of trouble, but this peace is quiet in your soul in the midst of trouble. If you plant rebellion and lies, you're going to harvest a life of suffering and hardship that lacks all peace. How can you find peace with God and from God while you're in rebellion against God? Now listen, here's a big point. If you're rebelling against this, this is the purity that produces the peace. This is the truth that can be sown to produce the harvest of peace. If you're rebelling against this, you're rebelling against peace itself. Because when I say, Lord, fill me with your purity and your peace, I'm actually asking him to fill me with him. But if him is this that produces the peace, and you rebel against this, you'll never know the peace. Stay with me. If you plant rebellion and lies, you will harvest a life of suffering and hardship that lacks peace. So how can you find peace with God and from God? 1 Peter 3:17. Remember, it's better to suffer for doing good. I told you, you're going to suffer in this life one way or the other. It's better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. The Apostle Paul's prison suffering was expanding the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentile world. His peace in providential suffering was giving confidence and encouragement to the people of his day and to us today. Purity and peace, they go together. The purity is from God and the peace is also from God. God sows purity into your life in the form of truth. And the result of that truth is the peace and quiet from God in your soul. Why? Because you stop. Why does that? Here's where I think I have a hard time convincing people. Why does the truth produce peace? Because in the moment that you receive it as truth, what you maybe not even know is that your rebellion has ended. You've stopped rebelling against the truth. And what that means, you have finally stopped rebelling against God. And how can you make peace with God while you live in rebellion against God. And what you want above everything else in your life is peace. Look at these final words from the Apostle Paul to the church while he is in prison. Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Can anybody see it? This guy's in prison. What's he telling? One thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Now, how will I know that? What's the source? Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me and everything you heard from me and saw me doing. And then something is going to happen. Then the God of peace will be with you. Fix your thoughts. Can I ask everybody a question? Okay, you ready? Don't answer out loud, but this past month, how much time in here? All right, let's do a scale. This past month, how much time in here and how much on TV? You want peace? There is a way to get it, but you got to plant the purity to produce the peace. If you fix your thought on that is true. I'm not against watching TV until you don't have time to read the Bible because you don't have any time left. Fix your thoughts, plant these seeds, and receive the harvest of God's peace and quiet. You want the harvest of peace and quiet? Plant the seeds. Plant the seeds. Fix your thoughts on what's true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. They're all revealed in the Bible. Think about what is excellent and praiseworthy. And here comes the next point. Don't just think about it, apply it. There's a whole lot of people today that think about it, but they don't apply it. Don't just think about living in purity of life, but live in purity of life. There are some things, let me give you some counsel. There are some things that you need to add to your life to receive this purity and peace. And you need to make some life choices. You need to grow up, accept responsibility for your life, and add some things into your life. And number two, there are some things that you need to take out of your life. There's some things you need to add to, and there's some things you need to remove from your life if you want to have this purity and this peace that God offers. Now, I'm going to ask you, do you believe this stuff? Do you believe it's more than just hearing it? I'm going to prove it to you. In Luke 6:46, Jesus says something. I'm going to tell you what, this is sobering. It is for me. So Jesus says this, and I'm convinced it's a message for the modern American church. Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Anybody think it personal? Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, and you have no intention of doing what I tell you to do? Well, I will show you. Jesus says, I'll show you what it's like when someone comes to me. He's going to give two examples, two different people. And by the way, that has application for everybody in this room today. I'm going to show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teachings, okay, and then follows them. They actually do it. They listen to my teachings and actually follow it. It's like a person building a house who digs down deep and he lays a foundation on solid rock. And when the flood waters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it's well built. That's peace. It's on a foundation. It's on a rock. Storms are coming. Hardships coming. Get ready. It's not moving. Who is this person? He heard it. He applied it. Why do you say, Lord, Lord, and you got no intention of doing it? But there's another guy in this story. Verse 49, but anyone who hears what? The word. He hears and he doesn't obey. He's like a person who builds a house without a foundation, without a foundation, like sinking sand. And when the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse in a heap of ruins. Is there any peace in that story? What's the difference? The purity of God's truth always produces the peace of God when it is put into practice. It's called faith. Faith is being sure and certain that the purity of God's truth will produce an eternal peace in our lives. Did you notice something about Jesus' teaching? Both groups face a raging storm. Anybody notice? Both groups face a raging storm. What's the difference? The foundation. What's the foundation? Purity. It's the purity of God's word. And the purity of God's word is not an intellectual encounter with God. It is not knowing about God. Why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? It is to live for him and allow him to live through you. One group survived the storm, the other group was swept away. Do you want peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with others? It's my conclusion, everybody wants peace, but will you accept the pure, undefiled truth about peace? Jesus speaks these next words of truth to his disciples and to us today, and I'm going to ask you before I read it, do you believe this? John 16:31. Jesus asked, do you finally believe? But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when you will be scattered, each one going his own way, leaving me, Jesus, alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on the earth, you're going to have many trials and you're going to have many sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Do you want this peace? Do you have this peace today? You cannot make peace without Christ. You cannot make peace with God without Jesus Christ the Son. You cannot find peace in yourself. You cannot find peace in your situations. You know why? Because here's the reality. There are people sitting in the room today that will, if you would be honest, you say you don't believe in hell. It seems to be a modern cultural movement. I don't know where it come from, but it's a different subject. Maybe you're the person sitting here today and you really don't believe in hell. Okay, let's just go with that for a moment. That's not true, but let's go with that. You believe that there's a grave because you don't know anybody that's 150. And they weren't snatched by aliens, so you figured they were planted somewhere. So I'm going to ask you a question. Can you find peace today in your current circumstances? You don't believe in hell. You don't believe in hell. Can you find peace today in your current circumstances knowing that one day in the future they're going to put you in a box and they're going to put that box in the ground? I'm going to ask you, where's peace? First time there's trouble in your life. That's the meaning of your life. You're going to go into a box and they're going to put the box in the ground. Put dirt on top. Where's your peace? So you come to me and say, yeah, I have peace. No, you don't. You still don't have a comprehension of what peace is. And that's taken away the fact that there's a hell on the other side of there that you don't even want to pretend like it's real. Now, let's take it another step. Let's turn that over. And I'm going to tell you what purity is. Purity says that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he's got a gift for you. And the gift is, if he doesn't come back, they're going to put me in the box and going to put the box in the ground. But when they try to put me in the box, my soul's going to leave my body and I'm going to go and be in the presence of God. Now, I'm going to ask you, can you find peace in that? Yes, I can. Yes, I can. You see the difference? The purity of God's truth has revealed the power of God's peace. But, you know, none of that applies if you don't believe that. There's no peace that comes because you've rejected the purity of the truth of the Word of God. So I'm going to ask you a question today. I'm going to wrap this up. To everyone, have you made peace with death and the grave? Be honest. Have you made peace with death and the grave? Are you ready for it? Paul had peace with death and the grave while he was in prison. And you know what he kept saying? Remember, the Lord's coming soon. The Lord's coming soon. So would you dare, anybody in the room, would you dare pray this prayer of faith today? God, would you please fill me with your power and your presence and your purpose and your passion and your providence and your peace and your purity and your provision and your protection? Would you please fill me with you? This is not some method. This is a relationship with the living God. This is to become one with Christ, because all of those things are not things. All of those are him, Christ in me, the hope of glory. God wants to fill us with all of these, to fill us with himself, his spirit. It is a gift from our gracious and loving Father, a gift in the form of his Son. But you must receive this gift. In John 14, 27, Jesus says, I'm going to leave you a gift. What is it? I can't help but smile. I'm going to leave you, Terry, with a gift. Peace of mind and peace of heart. The peace I give is the world cannot give. You know why the world can't give it? Because the world cannot deal with the grave. The world has no power to deal with the grave. But he says, the world cannot give you this gift. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. Remember, the Lord's coming soon. And if you really love me, you'd be happy that I'm going to the Father who's greater than I am. I've told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. Purity. I have just read to you today the pure, undefiled, perfect word of God. Do you believe it? It's called truth. And truth sets people free from fear and death and makes peace with God, self, and others. Jesus said, I've told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. The world cannot give you this peace, because the world is in rebellion against God. It is at war with God. Today I give you this counsel with all of my heart. Bow to this King. Bow to this King. And when I say bow to him, what I'm really saying is turn around, because you're walking away from him. If you're in rebellion, if you've rejected the word, you hear it, but you have no intention of living it. Turn around, face him, bow to him. He's got a gift for you. It's called truth. And when you receive the truth, you will receive the peace. Because when you receive the truth, you have in essence surrendered and you're no longer the rebel. You cannot find this peace that passes human standards, human understanding, in the things of man, only God. There can be no peace on earth or in our hearts without the Prince of Peace. So how can you claim that you have peace with a dark grave lying in front of you, and hell on the other side of that? Peace of mind and heart. So here's my last question. Who in the world would turn this down? Do you know the answer? Who in the world? I have outlined to you the very thing that every person on earth is seeking. Peace. Who would turn it down? They're called unbelievers. I'll ask Chad to come on now. They're called unbelievers. It's always interesting to me that the term most frequently used in the New Testament to describe us is believers. So the believers have peace. The unbelievers have denied the peace. What did they deny? Oh, they want peace. The unbelievers, you think the unbelievers don't want peace? They want peace. What they don't want is the pure truth of God's word that delivers the peace. So they're rebels. They rebel. They rebel. So today, we're going to face hardship in this life one way or the other. The question is whether or not you'll face that hardship in perfect peace, it's well with my soul, or you'll face it in hopelessness, without any peace, knowing that one day, something marvelous is coming. And remember what Paul said? Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Today, remember, the Lord is coming soon. We're going to sing a song. And in the middle of that song, I'm asking you, when we start singing, there are people sitting in this room today that need this peace. And if you be honest with yourself, you're in rebellion. You've heard the word, but you had no intention of living it. You have no intention of actually surrendering yourself to the power, presence, purpose, passion, providence, peace, purity, provision of God in your life. No intention. The peace is a gift, but he will not force you to receive the gift. Receive the gift. Let's stand.